Hello and welcome to the Occult London podcast. This is a new podcast dedicated to exploring magic, mysticism, the Kabbalah, as well as other topics. In this series, we are exploring the symbolism and mysteries of the tarot in relation to the Western mystery tradition. Each week, we'll be looking at a different tarot card. These are not meant to be short. These are not meant to be in-depth analysis. Really, it's more of a short introduction, so it's not going to be an exhaustive examination, but rather a taster to just get you started and thinking. If you like the podcast, please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show, and you can also find us on YouTube at Occult London Podcast. Hope you enjoy it. So in this episode, we will be looking at the tarot card of Strength, which is the 19th path on the Tree of Life and the path of Teth. As we have seen in our previous episodes, we will begin this episode by discussing the kind of key correspondences of this path. And for the purposes of this podcast, I've been using Greer's Paths of Wisdom book, which is particularly good, and I'd highly recommend it to anyone who wants to take things further. So as we can see, the Hebrew letter of the path is Teth, which means serpents. The name of God is Elohim. The astrological correspondence is Leo, or the lion. The tarot correspondence is obviously the card of Strength. The esoteric title is Daughter of the Flaming Sword, Leader of the Lion. The path text is the 19th path is the intelligence of the secret of all activities of the spiritual beings, and is so called because of the influence that is diffused by it from the Most High, exalted and sublime glory. The mythological principle is meeting with the other self. The experience of the path is fire, sunlight, energy, solar symbols, rituals of initiation and purification, tests of strength and will, and combat with animal or semi-animal opponents. Entities of the path would include initiating priests and priestesses, the animal twin or wild self. The magical image is an arch of lemon yellow bearing the letter Teth in brilliant white on the keystone, and the door in the arch bears the image of the trump. The colours in Atzeluth is lemon yellow, in Bria is deep purple, in Yetzirah is grey, and Isaiah is reddish yellow. So moving on to the main correspondences of the path, and obviously we're going to talk about it from this kind of Kabbalistic symbolism here. So the path connects Geburah with Kesed, so it's got quite a lot of correlations with the path of the tower as being a path that spans the two pillars between force and form. So obviously you have the, you know, the horizontal paths which connect the two pillars, and then obviously you've got the verticals. So this is one of the horizontals that actually spans across those two pillars, and they're particularly powerful paths to explore. This is very much a mixing of Martian energies with the more expansive and beneficent energies of Kesed. So the planets we're talking about here are Mars mixing with the more friendly and expansive and beneficent energies of Jupiter. So on the descent, it really represents this kind of trial, strengthening of the soul, so there's enough strength to manifest into the lower planes. And from the ascent point of view, it's the peace and reward after the battle and a kind of transformative initiative process of Geburah. It's very much connected with the ideas of initiation and trial, which is illustrated by the symbolism. The card normally features a woman holding a lion's mouth open in order to subdue it. Crowley has a different image in this particular, his version, which he titles Lust, representing more the kind of joy of strength exercised. And I've got a quote here from him. She rides aside the beast. In her left hand, she holds the reins. representing the passion which unites them. In her right, she holds aloft the cup, the Holy Grail aflame with love and death. In this cup are mingled the elements of the sacrament of the aeon. The sacrament is the physical magical formula for attaining initiation, for the accomplishment of the great work. So here we see the female or woman traditionally signifying our highest connection to spirit, the individuality, and the lion representing the kind of lower self. Personally, I prefer to think of the woman as more kind of owning and taming the lion rather than subduing it. And I think this is quite well represented in the Thoth deck, where the woman is shown to be riding the lion. The lion could be seen to kind of represent that part of ourselves that we may not always like, but is always there. So more of a kind of primal animal nature, which is can be very destructive, but also can be this amazing, insane force for creativity and bringing new, exciting things into the world. As Gareth Knight says in his Practical Guide to Kabbalistic Symbolism, the test of this path is the ability to face up to everything that has happened during the complete span of personal evolution, accepting it for all that it is, without evasions or repression. It is a final reckoning. And this could be seen as well from the title of the card as being Daughter of the Flaming Sword, Leader of the Lion. So the idea of kind of using one's will, represented by the sword, to tame the lion. And the lion could also be seen as the ego. And this is something Dolores mentions when she says, the thing most likely to trip us up on this path is our own self-pride. If we can get that out of the way, i.e. control it, the natural dignity and leadership of the lion symbol will shine through. So in this sense, the woman could also be representative of our holy guardian angel, kind of showing us that inner strength that we need to find within us. And obviously the beast nature that not necessarily can be destroyed with a sword, but it's more taming it and recognising that it's part of ourselves so that we can become whole, so that we achieve gnosis of that lower self and that higher self in one creative burst of power. As we can see, the Hebrew letter for the path is Teth, which means serpents, or serpent rather. So what are serpents? So as we've seen throughout history, they've got, you know, many different forms, ranging from, you know, god of fertility, guardians, through to bringers of wisdom, also destruction. So think of like Adam and Eve, or the infinite, the idea of the Ouroboros, symbol of infinity. The Hopi Indians were quite interesting. So I was reading about this the other day. So they, as a fertility symbol, they perform an annual snake dance to celebrate the union of snake youth, which is a sky spirit, and snake girl, which is an underworld spirit. And this is to really kind of renew the fertility of nature. And during the dance, live snakes were actually handled. And at the end of the dance, the snakes were released into the fields to guarantee good crops. And the snake dance is very much this kind of prayer to the spirits of the clouds, the thunder and the lightning, that the rain may fall on the crops. In other cultures, snakes also kind of symbolise the umbilical cord. So, you know, our connection to the earth. The great goddess also had sort of snakes as familiars, and they also worshipped as kind of guardians of the mysteries of birth and regeneration. We also see them as being a symbolic representation of the Kundalini force as well, which rises within us with regards to kind of an awakening. So that's something else to think about from that perspective. From a Christian side of things, snakes are quite important when we look at things like the prophet Moses. So he's raising up a serpent, and this is also repeated by Jesus when he says the following in the Gospel of St. John: as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So the serpent can very much be seen as this kind of initiator or kind of catalyst for personal transformation. And this is very much represented when I was reading Chick and Tabitha Cicero's book, when they say the following. This is in Garden of Pomegranates. This represented a type of electromagnetic energy, not unlike that of Eastern Kundalini. This serpent power is used by mystics to activate the body's energy centres to cause a kind of divine rapture. The 19th path connects the Sephiroth of Kesed and Geburah, the primary spheres of water and fire on the tree. Between these two polarities, a natural electrical circuit is formed that generates this vitalizing serpent power, which is part of the magnetic current that powers the entire universe. The ability to direct and regulate this power is the basis of all occult work. And that, as I said, is from Israel Regardi's A Garden of Pomegranates. So obviously, in terms of mythological characters that you could look at in terms of getting to grips with this card, obviously, you know, you can use a lot of the different symbolism here. So anything, you know, connected with, mythological lions would be a good way of connecting with this particular power, or also sort of mythological serpents as well. You can also kind of abstract that out a bit more as being, you know, for instance, characters like that are fighting a demon, for instance. So it could be like Saint George and the dragon, or Michael and the dragon could be examples of that. Thanks very much for joining us this week on the Occult London podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show. Hope to speak to you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.